Hello. Just a quick announcement before the episode starts. We had a critical failure with some of the recording this week. Matthew's power went out literally maybe 10 minutes until we were going to be wrapping up anyway. So unfortunately, there's going to be no questions section on this week's podcast and no video because we weren't able to salvage the video. We were thankfully able to salvage most of the audio. So with that said, enjoy this week. Sorry about that. And we'll be better next week. I don't know. Maybe Eskom will. Who knows? Okay, bye. Hello, and welcome to episode 188 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined by another darkened Matthew Figuera.
Why do we keep doing this?
two weekends in a row.
Although last time it was still daytime when we started, right?
Yeah, it was sort of like dusk.
I've noticed this. So it's Friday evening now. I'm very, very white because of my white lights coming to my face.
You need to get tanning lights on that desk.
Yeah, you have some color on your face at least.
Like, but that's also because of this light. Like, if I put my hand over this light, you can see it's not really the same. It's giving me some color.
Yeah.
Got to get one of these.
If I were to minimize this huge white screen next to me. Oh, there we go. Slightly less white. This is the lighting of the future. Just pick the color of browser window or something.
Yeah. Or just you put your iPhone on a little tripod and you just crank the brightness up like to its highest. Because those are little like mini HDR screens. So they go up to like ridiculous brightness levels. Like,
my God.
Yeah.
They really
just
do that.
Just sear your eyeballs in the process.
Yeah, you'll just burn your eyeballs out. Well,
exactly.
To help combat this, I've opened up a paint file and I've filled it with black. So there we go. This is bad for audio views, but let's see. Video views look white.
That is crazy, black. Actually, how much it actually helps.
Yellow.
Wow. You've got your own little RGB bulb there.
Look at this.
Who needs a Philips Hue thing? Yeah, you're just putting a full screen paint window on your face. My goodness.
Feeling a bit shitty. You can't see the brown.
No. What is the brown going to look like?
That kind of works, though.
If you want to put a bit of pink, just get a nice little pink hue, like a skin tone going there.
There you go.
Give you some rosy cheeks. Yeah, exactly.
I think that looks a little bit sunburned.
It's pretty good. A little bit sunburned.
Yeah, the black is the best one. There we go. It's not so intense.
Yeah, some nice contrast. Sure. Life hacks here. If you need to bias your lighting, just open up a paint window and
if you're driving your car, pull over and get the YouTube video app so you can see what we are talking about.
Oh my God. Yes. Do not watch it while driving.
Pull over to the slow lane. And then emergency lane and just stop.
Okay. I thought you were going to say because you're in the slow lane, you can take out your phone and just watch a YouTube video.
Oh, no. Put the hazard. We're all about safety. Put the hazards on. Mm-hmm. Wind down your window. Hold your phone out to the world so everyone can see.
Please do this while in Santon.
Oh, my God.
Where you absolutely will not get your phone stolen.
It'll never happen.
No, definitely.
We know
what
will happen. Someone will roll up to the window and be like, hey, give me your phone. Whoa. What is this life hack?
I'll be like, no, you taught me something today. You can keep your phone. It's okay.
Keep your phone. Go. It's fine.
I'm going to use this other phone to blind my next victim and steal their phone.
Amazing. I love to see it. But yeah, it's Friday. It's late.
Oh, we didn't even get to that part. Yeah, we haven't even said we're recording on a Friday because Matthew hates me.
It's a wife's birthday weekend, so I've got to maximize the time on Saturday and Sunday. So thank you for sparing me your Friday evening, but you too can now have a Saturday morning open.
It's fine. You don't need to lie. You just need to play Elden Ring this weekend. It's okay.
I'm getting very close to the end of my second playthrough.
Let me tell you,
third playthrough is going to be a wild time.
I haven't even got a character planned. I'm not even close to my first playthrough finish. Like, not even. I can't actually remember if we spoke about it last time, but I'm like at Godric, which is like probably the second mandatory boss.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a weird thing to say, because I think there's only like four or five mandatory bosses in that game.
Well, Godric, coincidentally, you can skip.
What?
If you really want to.
Okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. So Margot, you can't skip.
You can... Margot, I do not... No, wait.
Can you get into Stormvale without Margot?
You can skip Margot. Mm-hmm.
What? You can skip both of them. I haven't even got to one of the mandatory bosses.
No, look, so Godric is kind of mandatory. You need some Elden runes. So Elden runes. You only need to fight, I think, two of the main bosses before you get to like the end bosses. Game's good.
Game's good. I keep calling my dropped... you see, I'm just going to call them souls.
I'll call them souls.
What are they? I don't even know. Are they runes? Okay, sure. Sure thing, they're souls. I didn't realize while playing through Stormvale Castle, we've just completely derailed into Elden Ring now, that your ruins are routinely stolen by some fucking asshole NPC. So I did this thing where I died and I was like, cool, that's fine. The amount I had was like 300 or 400 ruins off what I need for a new level. So I'm just going to, I know that if I fight the enemies back to where I was, because I was at the campfire right by Godric. So I had to go backwards essentially. So I was like, cool, I'll fight backwards because I was farming anyway. I fought backwards to go get it and then I can level up and then have no ruins and then I've like no stakes against Godric, whatever. So I fight, I've got like the couple hundred I need. I pick up the ruins and I'm like 2,000 down. I'm like, what the fuck?
How did this happen?
So I'm like, what? That makes no sense. And in my like confusion, I died again. And I was like, fuck's sake. Okay, maybe I just read it wrong. Go back. Now it's even lower. Now I'm like halfway to a new level. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Is this like a status effect or something? So I Googled it. Nah, it's just some asshole NPC that keeps stealing my runes.
NPC in the whole game that steals your runes.
And he only steals them in Stormvale Castle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, cool. What turned into I'm going to level up and fight Godric has turned into I'm just going to forget about ever having these 7,000 runes and just go fight Godric and not give a shit anymore.
You learn to forget about runes. Sometimes you just have to let go of the amount you lose because you'll always grind them back up at some point. But I feel you. It's heartbreaking. My worst is like fighting a boss repeatedly and every time I walk in, I'm like, I must not forget to grab my runes. And it's always at one time I forget and I die. Then I run back and pick up my runes and I'm like, damn it, it's on zero. I forgot to get them last time.
So, yeah. I've just come off playing Star Wars Fallen Order for the second time. I don't know why, but I had this hankering for a Star Wars game and that decided to play that before I carried on with Elden Ring. Whatever. Great game still. There's a mechanic in there that I think is kind of nice that I get why From maybe doesn't do it. But there your dropped XP only goes away if you die again, not if you rest. Whereas I know From games, if you rest and you haven't picked up your runes, they are just gone.
I don't know if that applies to Elden Ring.
Does it not?
I don't know if it does. I think you can rest and your runes will still be in the same spot. Could be wrong.
Maybe I've been playing From Software games for my entire life.
Your whole life.
Because I've always been like, well, I've got one shot to get these things. I'm not going to, if I like fuck up halfway back to getting my runes or souls or whatever, I'm not going to turn around, go and rest and try again.
I've never thought about it, but I think you can rest. No problem.
Tell us in the comments if you're a souls veteran waiting for the good answer from good old Cat. He's going to tell us about how we're wrong about From Software games and how much he hates the Batman.
He's just... He is listening to Batman Unburied, though. He's listened to two episodes. He says it's interesting so far, so...
And the first two episodes are very good, but probably not the strongest in the whole season, so...
Mm.
Did you actually finish Batman Unburied?
I did. Real good.
Good ending, right?
Would recommend.
If you're into Batman,
it's just a Batman audio drama. 10 episodes.
It's on Spotify.
30 to 40 minutes each. Yeah, it's a good Batman story.
Fantastic cast of actors. You've got like Lance Reddick, Hasan Minhaj, Ashley Birch, a whole bunch. You've got, God, I can't remember his name, but the actor who was Gimli in Lord of the Rings.
What?
Yeah, he's a... I can't say it because it's kind of a spoiler.
Damn it.
He's the doctor.
Oh.
A doctor.
What?
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's him. Like, if you go through the IMDb for this series, it's...
I know, I was starting to do
unreal.
That.
Unreal. And it's what's fascinating is that it doesn't, like, show all the actors because some of them, like, their characters are only introduced later. But I think my favorite is Jason Isaacs as Alfred.
Mm.
Spot on. So good.
Yeah, really good.
Really, really good.
So, yeah, go listen to that.
You know what else is really good? Video games. Hey.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Hey-o, video games. I've been playing video games mostly predominantly. Actually, no, I forgot that I did this, so I can talk about how infuriating it is. I've been playing Diablo Immortal.
Oh, boy.
Mostly on my phone.
Yes.
And before I get to the good, let me just tell you, play this game on your phone. Because holy shit, that PC version is bad. Like, I cannot explain how terrible. Okay, so Diablo Immortal, if you're not familiar, was announced for smartphones when it was initially announced, just for phones. Mm-hmm. And I think it was only like 3 months ago this year, they announced the release date and they were like, oh yeah, it's coming to PC too. It's like, okay, cool. That sounds great. Now I can play this on PC. But when it launched on PC with an open beta tag.
Mm.
It's like, okay, well, that's weird. So I only booted it up the other day for the first time because I was like, well, I'm at my PC. Let me give this
try
a go.
That, yeah.
Wow. So the opening screen says tap to play. I'm like, okay.
Did you tap your mouse to play?
Yeah, I tapped my mouse against my monitor and nothing happened.
Nice.
I was like very confused. All of the UI elements are massive. They like feel like they overcrowd the screen.
Yeah.
And then I was like, something feels super wrong here. Like all the text is blurry. Like I was like, is this thing just like rendering in the wrong resolution? Because you know, sometimes when you launch a game for the first time, it just doesn't pick up your resolution.
Yeah, it's low res.
So I go into the settings. I'm like looking. There's the graphics menu, which is identical to your phone's, except for the fact that instead of 30 or 60 frames a second, you can choose up to 120 and unlimited.
No, so I'm like, okay, cool.
So I'm looking. Can't find a resolution thing. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's not under graphics. Maybe it's under general. Looking. I can't find this thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, there's no setting to like change UI elements or the size of things. Or whatever. And I'm like, something's not right. So I Google it. I'm like, how to change resolution in Diablo Immortal? And it's like, you can't. It's like, excuse me?
Just
it renders at 1080p. That's it.
But what's weird is that even at 1080p, the text still looks blurry.
It looks blurry as fuck. Yeah.
Like, so that's why I thought it's like 720p upscaled because
it looks
a mobile game.
Awful. So, it really, really looks awful. And then like, you know, I think the game on phones looks pretty good actually. Mm-hmm. On, you know, I mean, phones, especially iPhones, they have very high density pixel displays. And even then, it just looks sharp and like nice, you know? But boy, on PC, it just looks, it looks worse than Diablo 3.
And yeah, which is kind of weird.
Diablo 3, if you haven't played it for a while, go open it again. That game is aged. It does not look as pristine as you might remember it, but this looks way worse. So I promptly closed it on PC and continued on my phone and had a great time because I think this game is not bad.
It's funny though, before we get into the actual meat of the game, but this is one of those weird exceptions where it feels better on a mobile phone, which blows my mind. Like I've also messed around on different platforms. So I've tried it on PC. The footage you're watching on the video version of the podcast is me just capturing some straight up PC footage. You can see the mouse.
I love your randomly rolled name of your character.
No worries. I chose that. It's great.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And yeah, so there's obviously hotkeys. You're directing with keyboard, shooting with mouse, whatever. Tried it on my iPad, hooked up with my Xbox controller. Ooh. That works fine. Looks really good on iPad. But I still think on mobile, it actually is the best way to play. Like the Diablo, this whole genre of game especially this one, which has obviously been designed for mobile, just feels the best on mobile. Like, because all you're really doing is moving your character and then tapping some spells, you know, when they're off cooldown. Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward.
I've been playing mostly on the phone, but with like a little controller attachment. I've got one of those little like backbone thingies. So I can just slot my phone in the middle there. And I mean, it detects the controller immediately and it works pretty, I mean, Diablo 3 worked pretty well with the controller as well. So I'm not at all surprised that this feels pretty great. Like using your right analog stick to aim your spells or using the left to continue moving, stuff like that. But it is, you're right. It feels out of place on a PC because it just feels like there's not enough there for you to like interact with on a PC. I mean, there's no matter what class you play, there's no mana in this game or ability points or action points. Like in Diablo 3, I know you playing a demon hunter, they had, I think it was like action points or something like that. Yeah. You know, mages had MP, the monk had that little like, it looked like sand almost.
I actually never realized that that's missing from this game.
Yeah, so everything just works off cooldowns. That's all your abilities are only governed by cooldowns. So what I do like is that it makes you feel like you're always doing something with your abilities. You're not micromanaging health health bars or mana bars. And all you really have to focus on is, are you dying or are you killing things? So it's very streamlined. But at the same time, I know last time we spoke about this, I said that it's a very stripped down RPG. There are elements to it that I think do allow you to start making cool changes to your builds. So I know some of the legendary gems that you get, which are kind of like the rarest of the rare loot you can get in the game. And you can slot those into some of your primary like equipment slots, like your weapon and helmet and chest piece and whatever. And those actually have modifiers to your abilities. So they can completely change what an equipped ability does or how it interacts with enemies. And from that, you can start like synergizing a lot of things, you know, with one another. And I think that's really only really comes into play near the end of the level. Near the end of the game where you're doing like high level play and end game level stuff and
that makes sense.
Paragon levels and stuff like that. But there is that, you know. I also like the fact that you can level up, is it gear or, again, I can't remember if it's gear or gems, but when you change a piece of gear that has been leveled up, you can transfer that level to the new piece of gear. So that's cool. You're not just like burning up resources on gear and then turfing it, you know. Neither of us are at the end of, I think the level cap 60.
Oh, is it 60? Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm still like making my way through the story and having a great time. I've only now reached a point where the story wants me to be like one or two levels ahead of where I am. And that's like really not an issue because I haven't been doing some of the daily quest stuff or some of the random rifts. So I'm not surprised I ran up against like the story stuff a bit too quickly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've not felt tempted to buy anything, but I do know that that's more of an end game sort of,
exactly,
you know, thing, so to speak. Like, do I want to continue growing this character through, you know, new playthroughs? Because that's really the Diablo formula. You play the normal one and then you play on hard, but for hard you need good gear. So will it incentivize me to do those rift dungeons and pay money to get assured like legendary drops in there so I can continue playing? I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet, so can't really say.
Yeah, I think just to echo that, I also haven't really felt the need to put any money in yet. But like you said, we're not at the end game. But all that said, I've also been really enjoying playing this on mobile, even just for like 5 to 15 minutes a day. I'm actually kind of the inverse of you, where I've made a fair dent in the story, but I'm not nearly as far as you are. But I've spent more time doing the daily things. Like I log in, do the free daily rift. I've taken some bounties off the bounty board to go do those. And I'm just having a great time with it. So
it is interesting how the rifts are essentially your daily chests.
Yes.
Like your rift is just a small dungeon where you kill stuff and at the end you get loot. So instead of just watching like a chest animation, you are just playing through that. And then you can buy, I was right last week, you can buy crests that act as modifiers for that rift, those rifts. Yeah. So you can assure yourself like a certain tier of loot. So yeah, that seems a bit predatory. But at the same time, I don't need that stuff to progress in the story. So it feels right now, you know, again, with the context of not having finished, that it's more like I can pay to skip stuff as opposed to I need to pay to continue playing this game.
Exactly. Yeah, because a lot of mobile games have this thing of, you know, they give you a lot of levels and loot and everything early, but then the longer you play, the harder it becomes to progress. Like if you're playing, I don't know, like an RPG, let's say, you'll eventually hit a point where it's like, oh, your party's just too underleveled. You're going to have to go get some levels now. Whereas this feels like I can just keep playing through the main story. Like I haven't hit any walls yet and that's fine with me. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. It's a very, in terms of like quality levels, it definitely does feel like a condensed Diablo experience. Like the areas don't feel as large and far reaching. No. Like you can walk from one area to another relatively quickly. But at the same time, like, it still feels like a top tier Diablo experience. Like I'm having the same amounts of fun here that I did in like Diablo 3. So
yeah,
it's fun watching the numbers go up and monsters dying and shit like that. So
it's addictive. That loop is just addictive.
Yeah.
You know, that just seeing all the effects and everything flash on screen, everything pops, get some coins, even if it's like 50 gold.
you get those like 15 kill streaks or 20 kill streaks and you're just like, oh yeah, I feel fucking unstoppable. It's a real power trip. So
yeah,
it's a good time. I do enjoy it.
I'm keen to
that's
just
all I've been playing. Just don't play it on PC. It's bad thing. bad time.
I mean, I think we made a comment last week of like, huh, it's weird that it's in beta on PC. I guess this is why. I have to believe that's something they will add at some stage. Because like, I don't know, is it just a thing of adding higher res textures to the PC version? Like, I don't know, in terms of actual logistics and whatnot. But yeah, mobile is the place to play this game. One last thing I will say, which is pretty cool, is that you run around the world and you see other players doing shit as well, which is not a thing in Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that in Diablo 4. I think that's pretty cool. It almost feels like an MMO in that regard, where you see other players just doing their instances of things, or, you know, you can party up with other people to get things done quickly. That's pretty cool.
I do like the little instanced like dungeons that are at the end of each act, sort of. Like you go in there and it's like, cool, you can enter this alone or you can matchmake with three other players and play it, and like you can replay those things like over and over again. And it's they're good.
He just ran off screen now, but I was killing. Oh, there, he's back on screen. I'm fighting with a barbarian called Little D right now. Don't know who it is, but we're fighting things together and it's fun.
Good times.
But yeah, that's all we've both been playing. I mean, I've been playing Elden Ring, of course. We've touched on that. So yeah.
Elden Ring itself.
Elden Ring, my number up. Good
Bring
Lord.
The app, Elden Ring. That's pretty much all we've been playing. So, it's a busy week in news. So, should we just get to that, I guess?
Yes.
I just want to say that while we're recording this, Netflix released a teaser trailer for Castlevania Nocturne.
Follow-up
for their Castlevania series. So,
when's that coming
following
out?
Richter Belmont.
So, good dates on that?
I'm just looking now. It doesn't seem like it. I think it's just a complete tease. Yeah, it just says coming soon.
Damn those
whenever
people.
The fuck that is. Yeah. I mean, those Castlevania series took so long between seasons.
They did.
So, yeah, I'm not super shocked by that.
Okay, should we do game releases should we get quick?
To, yeah, game releases. VGC. So we are looking at game releases from today, from tomorrow, usually June 11th until June 17th. Can you believe it?
I just cannot.
I just can't anymore. Oh, wow, there's only three games out this week.
I just saw that.
Okay, so very quickly, Skeleton Crew, PC, June 16th. Redout 2. I think that's a racing game, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, let me actually see. Redout 2. That is coming to consoles and PC on June 16th. And then Starship Troopers?
Terran Command?
Didn't realize there was a Starship
Troopers. Yeah, Redout's like, this was a thing.
Redout is sort of like a Wipeout spiritual successor. I remember the first one coming out on Switch, so.
Okay.
I do not remember it getting like huge raving reviews, but this one does look good.
Hmm. There you go. There's
the game's out. Let's hop to news. So,
I mean, are we just,
as I'm sure you're well aware, yeah, Summer Game Fest is well underway. So this is Key 3 or Jeff Keighley's E3 or
Key Summer 3. Game Call Fest. Call it what
Key
it
3.
Is.
Key 3. That's what it
Key
is.
Key 3, not E3.
Key 3. It was basically the like opening night for Summer Game Fest. So he had like a just shy of 2 hour show to kick things off. And it had a whole host of like third party, you know, announcements and some first party stuff and whatever. Definitely no Microsoft stuff because they have the event. By the time you're listening to this, the event would have aired. But it's on Sunday and we're recording on Friday. So
you gotta get your prediction in right now.
What are you? Silk Song? Yes.
Phil Spencer comes out wearing a jacket. He rips it off. There's a Silk Song shirt underneath.
Yes. It's actually not. He's not wearing a shirt underneath. He rips it off and it's just Hornet tattooed on his bare chest. Oh my God,
on his chest.
And he's just like, out now. That's all he says. And then he walks off stage and they say, thank you for coming to the Xbox showcase.
I wouldn't even be mad.
That yeah, I'd be like, fuck, best showcase ever.
Best showcase in Xbox history. My goodness.
So there were a bunch of games announced at this thing. A lot of big games, some smaller ones. Not too many, I think, surprises. And I think we are definitely seeing the effects now of COVID. You know, everyone thought, oh, you know, the past years haven't been bad. We thought COVID would affect development. You are now, you know, we are two plus years out from when lockdowns first started occurring. And, you know, any projects that had just started then or were, you know, in like a year in then were heavily disrupted by that. And I think that little chasm is starting to be like very evident now where there's not much happening, you know. So, yeah, let's just go through what was there. So, it wouldn't be E3 without a Call of Duty campaign gameplay demo. That's like, I think every E3 since probably Modern Warfare 2 has had this. The like, we're going to show you a level for fucking 15 minutes. And yeah. Okay. This one didn't blow my socks off. I'll be dead honest. Just looked very boring.
So for my own knowledge, okay, so it's Call of Duty Modern War, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, okay. And then we had the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is technically like a remake of Call of Duty 4.
Correct? Well, yeah. Like a loose remake, yeah.
Is this the same thing? It's like loosely following that story or is it
Call of Duty? Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the one that came out like 3 years ago now, it had the characters from the first one, but its story was completely different. Yeah, completely different. Like at the end, they hinted at like villains that... So you saw people in it that kind of like intersected with events that happened in the original one, but it didn't follow the events of the original one. And then at the end of it, it sort of indicated that the next one was going to have, again, a sort of intersection of events from both the first and the second one. So, I mean, this one, the level they showed off, it was called Dark Water, and it takes place on like an oil refinery and then a ship. It reminds me a lot of the opening level in the first Modern Warfare, where you're killing folks on a ship and then the ship sinks. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what I hated about this one was that he just walks everywhere and it just felt so slow, you know, as a result. So, you know, part of that is they don't want to be fucking sprinting and whipping the camera around and making you super grossly ill. But yeah.
But I think for me, the big show piece of these, the big highlights of these show pieces is that just shows what the game looks like. And I mean, like in terms of actual visuals and performance, and the recent Call of Duty games have been looking really good. Like, I don't know what sorcery that engine runs on, but games are super pretty.
Yeah, so. No, this so, and what's cool is that now they've established that this is the engine to be used on all Call of Duty games going forward. So when Modern Warfare like announced that they had developed a new engine for that remake, it was like, cool, this looks so cool. It's using tons of photogrammetry. It's doing all sorts of cool things. Mm. And then like Cold War just was like, no, we're using a different one. We're using the same one. That, and I was like, what?
Cold
like,
War why? Went back to the 80s. Like we're going yeah, back.
It just made no sense. So you had this like a very distinct, like not a downgrade, but it looked different, it's, you
it
know?
It looked different, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that now it's just going to be one thing. I think that also helps their development going forward with Warzone and stuff. So, yeah.
Yep. Next up, Street Fighter 6 with good dude Guile.
Guile. Love him. Love that
this
hair.
This dude's arms are way too big. They're too big.
Have you seen Ryu?
No. I'm sorry. Ryu like is still kind of proportionate where like he's got big arms,
excuse
but he's
me?
Got... He's got big arms, but he has big legs.
You could feed a family of four on Ryu's chest.
Okay. He's got big arms. He's got a big chest and big legs. Guile has big arms and a big chest and little legs.
He's you know what he's skipping at you. That's all.
Yeah, he's definitely skipping leg day. I mean, if you're watching the video feed now, just look at this dude's arms. They're too big. My God.
I do really... like the look of the Street Fighter. It's like, so apparently it's being done in the RE engine, which is like Capcom's like go-to. Do you know that it doesn't mean Resident Evil engine? I only found that out fairly recently. It's a completely different acronym.
I just assumed they were the same thing.
No.
Who knew?
No, who knew? But I love the style of this game. The whole like very realistic and then this like... graffiti splashes for like special effects.
It's just like paints just coming out or like
it's
watercolors.
Pretty
it's really
it
nice.
It looks really good. I'm going to admire this game from afar because I'm shit at this game, but
give me the stretchy arm guard trailer, please.
Yo, where's my Dalsim trailer?
Yeah, come on.
Does Guile have a smartwatch? You saw him press something on his watch.
I mean, how does he keep that hair like that? Yeah. He needs a smartwatch.
Yeah. I do. So it looks cool.
Yeah, so we knew Street Fighter was coming, obviously. We had a trailer last week, actually, or the week before.
Yeah, I think so.
And
but
now
I think this
was
the first like proper gameplay.
The actual proper gameplay. So I think we're going to be getting a lot of these.
It's only out next year, though, hey?
Yeah, so between now and next year, expect a ton of these, like, surprise.
I want to stretch your arm guard trailer every single week.
Oh my God, so many. They're going to really stretch that out.
Get out of here.
Hey, Aliens Dark Descent, a new Alien game.
Cool.
I did not watch this trailer.
So in a running theme for Summer Game Fest, spooky horror things in space, there were like five fucking horror space games at the show. I don't know how that has happened, but So this is just another Aliens game because apparently we didn't get enough with the four-player one last year.
Mm.
But this is a single-player one in the vein of like an XCOM. Mm. It's a real-time strategy. So it's like an isometric view with a squad of four and you giving commands to them and shooting Xenos.
Nice. Cool. So it sounds kind of like the game we played last year or the year before. Was it last year? Was it Fireteam?
Fireteam was last year, Not a bad game. Not a great game. Not a bad game.
I'd just like to point out that we have two sets of cats on both our cameras. Lupin's giving Luna a bath in my feed, and behind you have, who's that?
That is Abigail, or Abby.
Abigail. Just
she's
chilling.
Looking at her brother on the chair because he's looking at her. They're about to fucking pounce each other.
WWE, let's go.
Yeah.
Speaking of space horror, though, we had a... another trailer of the Callisto Protocol, which looked very similar to the trailer we saw.
It's called the Schofield Cut.
It's the Schofield Cut.
Man. Come on.
I'll scrub through this trailer. I'm pretty sure that all that changed was the end.
It
was like
it was more gory and stuff like that. They also, straight after this trailer, they showed off like gameplay, like a walkthrough.
Okay. I missed that.
This game looks fucking great. Like,
it looks scary.
I mean, it looks so scary. But it is Dead Space in all but name. You've got a bit of an emphasis on melee attacks. Now you've got a gravity gun. You can do like some psyops bullshit, and it is ridiculously gory. Like, I feel like they just like do not care.
They're just dialing it up.
But it's scary. Like, I think the thing that always made, there were two things that made Dead Space novel. It was the sound design and the idea that you didn't have to shoot things in the head. Because at the time it was like zombies shoot in head.
Yeah.
Necromorphs was like dismember them.
Sever the limbs.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder how they approach that now. Because I saw he was fighting mostly humanoid enemies. And even though he was shooting the legs and the arms, they were being dismembered. But it's not the sort of same, you know, where the necromorphs are different shapes. So you've got to figure out how you're breaking them down.
Yeah.
But it does all the things. It's like got his health around his neck. The ammo is like a hologram projection above the weapon. So it's very much like there is no HUD. The HUD exists within the world. Yeah.
So. Love shit like Earth. That's cool.
Me too. Very cool. This is out in December.
Soon. Yeah, I can't believe it's so soon. Yeah. And if you play this, then you play the Dead Space remake the following month.
Hell nice. Yeah.
And we saw a game called Witchfire.
So this was announced ages ago. I forgot that this game existed.
Yeah, we just got a trailer. This game reminds me a lot of an old game called Painkiller.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, it's the same developers.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I have to look that up because that is hilarious. I'm going to
check this quickly.
Because I watched this trailer and my first thought was like, I played this game, not this exact game, but a game just like this, like 15 years ago, 20 years ago when I was a teenager.
If I'm not mistaken. So it's developed by a team called the Astronauts. And I think the Astronauts are like previous like Painkiller devs. I do think it would make sense. Polish independent studio.
Okay, because it looks, I mean, this is like a modern day Painkiller. It looks very good. Super shiny, smooth as butter with that gunplay.
Looks good.
I'm quite keen for
this. So it's apparently it's got elements of roguelike games in it, but it is a first person shooter with like magic and skills and stuff. Mm. It was officially revealed at the Video Game Awards in 2017. That's how long ago.
Oh my God. Okay.
And it's only coming out in early access this year.
That's crazy. It's 5 years. Mm. Oh, we got a game called Stormgate, revealed, a game coming from ex-Blizzard developers. It was just a cinematic trailer. This is a new real-time strategy game.
So it's former Blizzard devs, like you said, who kind of wanted to make StarCraft 3 but couldn't, so they left. And listen, it doesn't look good. They didn't show off gameplay. They showed off like screenshots of gameplay, and it looked kind of bad. Like, I'm just going to say that. It's a free-to-play RTS, and it's coming out in all the betas out in 2023. But I don't know.
Guess we'll see.
I do like the look of it. It looks like sort of like StarCraft, but what if Diablo invaded it? So that's cool.
So it's StarCraft 3 in all but name. So we've got, obviously for copyright purposes, we can't have Jim Raynor. We've got like Rim Janer.
Yeah, we've got absolutely.
Kara Sarigan.
And then you get another guy who's chewing a cigar, but he's got it on the other side of his mouth.
Farkas Tinley. My God. We've got Goat Simulator 3, which caused all sorts of confusion to me, because I streamed last night and then I watched a quick I didn't watch a roundup. I just went to Twitter to see what is announced, and I saw Goat Simulator 3 and I was like, what happened to Goat Simulator 2? Did I miss something?
There and turns out isn't one.
They just pulled the Windows at an iPhone and they just skipped a number. So Goat Simulator 3.
Let me tell you,
3.
That's not the only reason that trailer was so fucking funny. It's because Keely introduced it as a game that has been in development for a long time and hasn't been seen for a while. And then it opened with like a dude in rollerblades with headphones. And I was like, oh, this is Dead Island 2, you know, the game that has been it. And if you go and look at Dead Island 2's trailer, they recreated that trailer like shot for shot. And then next thing a goat arrives and you're like, oh my fucking God. It was so beautifully done. Like, just such a fucking great Rick roll. Like, incredible to watch happen in real time. Because, like, I'm on Slack, like, covering the event with folks from GameStop, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Dead Island 2, definitely Dead Island 2. And then one person goes, wait, what? And I look back at the trailer, I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
It's a great trailer.
Yeah,
really pull over the car, look up Goat Simulator 3.
Yeah,
if you don't understand the Dead Space, Dead Island reference.
If someone tries to steal your phone, just show them the trailer as well. Just be like, check this shit out.
Like, damn, thank you for letting me know about this game. You can go. We got a trailer for Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is basically Marvel's XCOM, coming, when is this out? October 7th. And this trailer just showed new characters, including Spider-Man.
Venom.
Spider-Man and Venom.
Yeah. Venom. And we also found out that Yuri Lowenthal's voicing Spider-Man here too. So
That's cool.
There's a lot of positive previews for this game that came out when this trailer dropped because it feels like it's been slightly tweaked following feedback from its initial reveal. And like the number of times that Firaxis has to distance itself being like, this is not a card game, just makes me real like worried about what this thing actually is. So
is it not an XCOM with Spider-Man?
It's an XCOM, but in their gameplay, they're like, you use cards to make moves. And I was like, no, thank you.
Oh boy. So let's see. Zenless Zone Zero.
This game looks fucking sick.
This is from Genshin Impact Creator. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So this is sort of like a, I don't know, anime urban hack and slash action game. It looks so good, so good. Someone described it as like a mixture of anime and Metal Gear Rising. Darren just got like an immediate boner, like just right there.
Right then and there, holy shit.
Right then and there. It looks so good. So I don't know what type of game it is, but the trailer was just like full of action anime and stuff. Yeah. And it looked fucking cool. So yeah.
This is another game that's just going to make a shit house of money.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's anything like Genshin Impact with, you know, the whole gacha mechanic, which... I'm pretty sure it will be if this is what the gameplay is with a whole lot of different characters.
Yeah.
Saints Row got a Boss Factory trailer. So my understanding is that it's just an online experience that lets you create your character. That's it.
Fun. Cool.
I hate the name of this game. So you know that game, Layers of Fear by Bluebird.
Yeah.
Comes their sequel, Layers of Fears.
Which is annoying because it's the third game in the series.
Yeah, what is the second one called even?
Layers of Fear 2, like a normal video game, you know?
Layers of... this to me is like, someone on their team is like, listen, for SEO purposes, let's just add an S. It's fine. We'll dupe Google. It's fine.
And what's confusing is that apparently this is like taking elements from the first two games and combining it into one game. And it's like, what?
What is going on?
So why would you call it? Yeah, the only thing that excites me about this is it's seemingly going to be the first game using Unreal Engine 5 that will launch because apparently it's coming out in early 2023. Hmm. So that'll be cool. Also, what happened to Silent Hill and Bloober? Are they still doing that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so there were hot rumors about the Silent Hill remake being shown because, you know, Bloober's going to be at Summer Game Fest. Spoiler, they're working on Layers of Fears.
You know, I can't tell if that's like a good or a bad thing because it was so weird yesterday because like all I've seen on Twitter since the whole rumor with Silent Hill and Bloober like coming out was like, Bloober fucking shit at horror and I don't want them to redo Silent Hill, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And like, I don't disagree. I think Bloober's not great at doing horror games. But then like Layers of Fear gets announced and people are like, yeah, new Layers of Fear. I'm like, what is going on? I thought you guys didn't like them. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea. We got another Gotham Knights trailer showing Nightwing specifically.
This game still looks so uninspired and boring.
Yeah. I hope it's good, but from what I've seen,
I have like zero faith in this thing. Like,
Bruce wouldn't want that. You have to keep fighting. and then like, I guess a surprise, not a surprise, because it was leaked. earlier in the day, and obviously rumored for a very long time. But The Last of Us 1 is in fact getting an official remake from the ground up. And it is shown off as the... This was at the end of the show, right?
Yeah, it's a real bummer. It got leaked. I mean, even though it's been kind of rumored and stuff for like months now, but it kind of like took the wind out of the sails of the close of the show because like everything about it had leaked essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's called The Last of Us Part 1. Mm. It's a full remake of the 2013 game using all the engine tech and stuff from the second game. They didn't really delve into like how big of a change the gameplay would feel, but I assume like their systems in the second one that could improve some of the overall motion of the combat in the first game. I don't think like whole encounters have been redesigned and stuff like that. Yeah. But,
I don't know. I'm curious to see what it actually is. This is one of those things where simultaneously I'm like, do we need a Last of Us remake? It I know it came out 9-10 years ago, but it still feels too soon. I don't know. For comparison's sake, I think of remakes of like Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil 2, which are games that came out in the late 90s, and then the remake of Dead Space. But even Dead Space came out like 13-14 years ago. It feels a little bit more fitting.
I think it's mainly because like the way games have progressed from 10 years ago to now hasn't really been on a paradigm shift where like you can tell something like gameplay wise or perspective wise has completely changed. So if you look at the difference between like Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil Remake, even those two things are, I think they were like 5 or 6 years apart. It's something ridiculously small. Like the difference in technology between those two periods, made the games feel like completely different things.
Yeah, so that's an interesting like case study because back then I wouldn't have known any better, but if you had told me 6 years after Resident Evil 1 that there's a remake, I'd be like,
yeah, it makes no sense. Kind of soon. Right? Yeah.
But that game was completely different.
But it had come from like the PlayStation 1 era to like the GameCube era. So you had like way more processing power, way more polygons. Like games just looked different. Whereas now if you know, The Last of Us came out at the tail end of the PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out like months before the PS4 launched. So already then you're straddling the line of this is one generation ago. I get it. Like I definitely get it that it feels too soon, but I do think it's a nature of like games just haven't changed it. And I don't think they will. Like
don't get me wrong. Like all that said, I'm still very keen to play this.
I'm super down to play this. And I think people who say that it doesn't look any different should watch just the trailer and see the comparison shots. Like your memory is betraying you like drastically, because how this game looks now is probably how you remember it looking, and it does not look like that, like the original does. And they were actually comparing to the PS4 remaster, which already looked slightly better than the PS3 version. So it's definitely a huge step up in terms of like visual fidelity. Along with that, there was news on the multiplayer mode. So, people have been wondering about what's happening with the multiplayer factions mode for The Last of Us Part 2. It's now been spun out into a standalone game, which will have a new location, and new characters and stuff like that. So, yeah, that sounds cool. Apparently, it's described, I think Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb said, it's very live service-y. So,
live service-y.
And today was the last filming day for The Last of Us HBO series. So, cool.
Coming soon. Cool, cool, cool.
Well, Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson are going to be in the show, but they're not playing Joel and Ellie. So
that's so funny. That's basically Summer Game Fest. Those are the highlights. There are other games that are announced. I'm just going to read them off quickly. So we had Routine, Flashback. Not announced, just shown as well.
Flashback 2 is a sequel to a game that's 30 years old. I don't know it existed, but people are losing their shit about this. So
yeah, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Warhammer 40K Darktide, Metal Hellsinger, Nightingale, One Piece Odyssey. If you like the anime, there's a new game coming. Neon White, which is that so awesome looking game.
So keen. And that's out like, next week, Wednesday.
Oh, is it out next week already?
This is an interesting one because this had been leaked. The release date had been leaked and everyone thought, because of the date and shadow dropping and for the fact that it's coming to Nintendo Switch, that this signified that it was going to be a shadow drop during a Nintendo Direct. Then it popped up here. So now it's like, so is there even a Nintendo Direct next week? Don't know anymore.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Midnight Fight Express.
That looks so cool. Did you watch the trailer for that?
Mm-mm.
So it's like, it's being made by one person and it's like a sort of isometric, like really fast-paced action game, reminiscent. It reminds me a lot of like Hotline Miami, if Hotline Miami was isometric in 3D, but also like a bit Melee-focused.
That's cool.
It looks so sick, and it's out in August, I think, and it's going to be on Game Pass, so that's cool.
Goddamn.
Yeah, that's pretty rad.
Super People, Honkai Star Rail, Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, which I cannot believe this is finally coming out. It's been a long
July,
time
I think, hey?
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, June or... Yeah, I think it is July.
I think it's July 17th or something.
I think it's time I finally played Cuphead.
I need to restart that game because I got very far and got stuck in a bus and gave up.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then running all of those arts, American Arcadia, High Water, and Fort Solace. So it is a pretty packed Summer Game Fest.
It was, yeah.
Overall feeling, there was some things there, but it wasn't on the level of E3. Like, whoa,
no,
I can't believe this was announced. Or here's a huge surprise. It feels like we saw a lot of stuff that we just knew about. And that's not necessarily at the fault of the developers. Like, The Last of Us was rumored. It was leaked, unfortunately, early in the day. So, I don't know. We'll see. But should we bounce through other news quickly for this week? So don't worry, the game showcases haven't stopped. Like we've mentioned, Microsoft is having theirs on Sunday. And there's a couple of indie ones happening.
Yeah, there was Day of the Devs that happened straight after this one. Devolver had theirs where they announced like five games. I think the one really of note there for me was a new game from Cape Town-based Free Lives.
Free Lives, what's it called?
Called Angerfoot.
Angerfoot. I was going to say like foot something, Angerfoot.
I've been seeing progress of this game. They've been putting like small snippets of it up for free as demos over the years as they like, you know, go through their prototype iterative process. But now it's like officially a game they are going to release. And
amazing.
It's like a first-person shooter where you also use your feet to like fucking kick in doors and shit. It looks ridiculous and so much fun.
It looks great.
So yeah.
But I thought I just threw this into news. Annapurna also having their showcase, but in July. So
keen for this. Annapurna publishes some bangers.
I don't know. They've got this. They like curate these just interesting indie titles. I don't know. Like I can't
they're
really
very
describe it. Yeah, the titles they curate are just generally
I mean,
very good.
They did miss last year with 12 minutes, given that.
Okay, that was the only miss.
I think that's why that was so surprising as well. It was like an Annapurna game, and I couldn't believe. Like,
I think on, yeah, I just think on paper the game sounded better than it was. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe they got pitched and they believed the pitch, and that's it. That's how deals are made. So.
Good Lord. There's also some rumors going out earlier this week that God of War Ragnarok was going to be delayed to 2023. But hey-o, today apparently the date has been narrowed down in a new report to November this year. Is it true?
That's later than it still was thought to be.
Still, but
it
might still be landing this. I mean, they said it's landing this year, but I don't know.
I'd put money on the fact that The Last of Us Part 1 is coming out in September, that pushed God of War back to November.
You reckon? Okay.
Yeah. Because there was that whole rating, the Korean rating, that happened like early in May. And those usually happen like 3 months or so out before release. So everyone was like, oh, this thing's coming in September. Then there was like a PSN database date of like the end of September for God of War. And then suddenly that disappeared. So, yeah.
No. There we go.
At least it's coming out still this year. Like, I think that's great. You know, I still would have thought it was coming out 2023 and how fucking anything can happen and it could slip. How many times have we seen a game that looked locked for its date? I mean, Cyberpunk was delayed like a month before it was meant to launch, like by another month or two. Horizon Forbidden West was delayed, what? Not even... No, no, I'm thinking of actually The Last of Us Part 2 was delayed a month after it got its release date. So shit happens. We'll see. Like, I'm not saying that I don't want to believe it's coming out in November. I'm just saying that I've seen enough, especially on Sony's front, to I've suggest that that shit can happen. Like,
well, yeah. We'll see. And then the last bit of news in supposed new games. Kojima, a good dude Kojima, maker of Metal Gear Solid and Death Stranding, is making a horror game called Overdose. It was leaked, earlier this week, I think. And also, you know, you might be going, but does Kojima know how to make horror games? Yes, he does. He did the PT demo, the infamous slash memorable PT demo on the PS3 many years ago, you know, before him and Konami parted ways. And let me tell you, if that PT demo is anything to go by, Kojima can make a wild horror experience. So, yeah.
I think a lot of people expected this to pop up at Keely's show.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to pop up at Microsoft's. There's been,
that would be mind-blowing.
There's been That'd all be that crazy. Talk over the years of Kojima and Microsoft making a deal for a game that actually leverages Xbox's cloud stuff. And potentially, I mean, these were the reports that it would be an xCloud exclusive, which would be a fucking bummer.
First Microsoft Strand game.
Yeah, you know.
Goddamn.
So, I mean, the fact that it didn't appear, yes, I think this is going to be on Sunday. Well, if you're listening to this, you'll know the answer to this. So
hit us up, comment in the video, or just tweet us and tell us if we're right or wrong.
That would be crazy.
That blows my mind because... To me, I always just associate Kojima with PlayStation. I mean, even
Sony.
Even before Death Stranding, like Metal Gear Solid was always felt like a Sony thing. I mean, it was a Sony thing for a long time. To just go, not I don't mean it in this way, but like to go over to Microsoft, it's just like, oh, it's like a
how dare he?
It's Sucre like the Spanish soap opera you didn't know.
Medeus,
Kojima, put care. and then just some other bits of news. This I threw in just to like touch on it, but there was a huge report from Kotaku just diving into, well, the article's titled The Human Toll of Fallout 76's Disastrous Launch. This is a very lengthy read, but I do recommend it. Interesting
you,
to
you
see.
You read it, or I haven't actually gotten around to reading it. So
it just really touches on what went on behind closed doors at Bethesda leading up to the development of Fallout 76. I think it was 10 ex-devs spoke anonymously. This article has some quotes. Let me find you my favorite one quickly. I think it was toward the bottom here. It touched on how Skyrim exists as like an actual miracle. Let me just look it up quickly.
I think had you the could word say monkey. That for every fucking game in the world.
You could say that for every game with this quote. So one of the people interviewed said, "I don't know how Bethesda made Skyrim. It doesn't make sense to me. Like it had to have been like monkeys with a typewriter creating Shakespeare. I don't know how things can be so chaotic and people are still able to do their jobs."
But this is a sort of thing that so many studios have depended on, like this ability to turn chaos into something that at the end of the day somehow just manages to get through the door and actually be good. And it's what led to BioWare like completely fucking derailing. You know, they even acknowledged it when Andromeda came out. They were like, it didn't have the BioWare like secret sauce that just makes these things congeal in the last 6 months. Also known as extreme crunch. You know what I mean? So like, it's such a dangerous thing to just depend on. Yeah, this is a fucking haphazard thing. We're throwing darts at a wall, but it's going to come together in the end sort of mantra. So
that actually is mentioned here in this report of how Bethesda sort of cling to how they worked in like the 90s and early 2000s, where with much smaller teams, they made like these incredible products, and under also like extremely hard circumstances. I don't know. I just threw it in here. If you're interested in reading about Fallout 76, which, spoiler, launched to be a complete flop, a very broken game.
It's apparently very good now.
Now it's a lot better, but it launched in a... Well, this is the thing that got me. It's very broken, but this report touches on like every Fallout game, their strengths generally are like location and NPCs. You know, that's the story and the characters. Fallout 76 launched with no NPCs, which is just like, they even say like in early testing, and this is flagged, like this is a bad idea, and it was just sort of shrugged off.
And it's amazing because PR around it was like, no, this was a conscious decision. We wanted to show the world through this lens, blah, 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 blah. And then like a year later, they added NPCs. So like, again, you know, I get real irritated when people take... This is more of a wider problem, but when people take critique of like a showcase of a game or a launch of a game and saying, yeah, but the devs say they did this because of this. It's like you're critiquing it because you can't just believe all the PR that's coming at you, because that's not the full picture behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like it shows here, like you said, that not even the devs thought this was a good idea.
It just sort of happened.
Yeah. It's a result of like being dealt the hand you have and doing the best you can with it, you know?
And then last bits of news. Oh, I actually meant to touch on this earlier with the streaming news, the game announcements. Final Fantasy VII is getting a 25th anniversary stream on the 16th of June.
Wait, when the fuck did this happen? Did this get announced today? What?
Yeah.
What?
So it's a 10-minute long stream. Only 10 minutes, but... Yeah, I mean, what are they going to show? Like, are they going to show Remake Part 2? Like, we can only hope. This article says it's likely to be more on the Battle Royale called The First Soldier and Fuck's the mobile sake. Remake of the original Ever Crisis.
Oh, right. That's still happening. I forgot about that. That's like doing like, what's it? Crisis Core in Final Fantasy VII, isn't it?
I don't know. It's like a mobile version of Final Fantasy VII.
Weird.
I mean, so that's...
I know The First Soldier has been like... It's out. So I think it's new seasons and stuff. You know, I would be fine with them being like Final Fantasy VII Part 2 information coming September or
whenever. Just give me an indication.
Give me a date on when I can expect new stuff. Yeah,
so that's happening. And then last two pieces of news: iOS has added support for Switch Pro and Joy-Con controllers, so if you want to play Diablo as God intended with Diablo Immortal with a Switch Pro or Joy-Con controller, now you can.
You know what would be cool? If someone like 3D printed a sort of like whole like claw for an iPhone that just had the little rails for your Joy-Con.
Oh, that'd be quite cool. That'd be pretty neat. Just slide them in. And then, this I thought was very cool. Video Game Soundtrack Award added to the Grammys.
That's
super neat.
So I didn't know that this was new, because video game songs, individual songs, have won Grammys before. But not whole soundtracks.
Do those not fall into specific categories or something, maybe?
I'm not sure. I do know that there's been two instances of video game songs that have won like awards, but those are just the songs. You know what I mean?
So this article says the Recording Academy has added 5 new categories to the Grammys, including Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games. So I guess it's kind of like looking how you'd have Best Album, but now Best Video Game Soundtrack. Which I think is pretty cool, because I always think video game soundtracks are very much, they are 100% art and deserving of way more praise, you know, outside of the gaming sphere even. I think it's quite cool to see that, you know, this being added to the Grammys.
Hot off the presses, I was incorrect about the release date for Cuphead. It is out on June 30th.
Okay.
And it is only $8.
This is why I covered you. I said it's June, July. Because I was like, not sure. that is all the news. Summer Games Fest and some nuggets of other things.
Love nuggets.
Love chicken nuggies, as they call them, all the cool kids.
All the cool kids, yes.